good morning and happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
I'd just like to share some things with you. Easter Day is celebrated by family, friends, and visitors gathering together in praise and adoration of the risen Christ. As our joyful bells ring out in praise, Jesus' words of forgiveness from the cross reminds us that we too are forgiven. Wow! We can celebrate Easter Day with heartfelt thanks to our risen Lord and Savior and share his love and peace with others. Dear Lord, thank you for giving your life so that we can have eternal life in and through you. Amen. Okay. The Bell Choir is going to be playing the Hallelujah Chorus a little later on. And if you can, you may stand. Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning, and happy Easter. Any announcements today?
Good morning. It's good to see all of you here this morning on this Easter morning. I just want to say a few things here. In your bulletins this morning, you'll see an insert entitled Living Hope. This was requested by Nancy Torres here in the church, and it's a very good and inspirational reading. It is by the author Anonymous. We don't know who the writer is, so this is an anonymous author. But Nancy, because this is such a moving reading, Nancy is going to read this before the senior choir sings their song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. That'll be after the offertory hymn. You'll see announcements in a bulletin. Just a reminder that we do have executive and board meeting this Tuesday, so we hope that all can come out to that this week.
Is there any other announcements today? All right, we have the opening hymn. Stay risen for the call to worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This is the day that the stone is cast aside and the mantle of darkness is torn away.
God has swallowed up death forever and brushed our tears away.
This is the day of salvation.
Be glad and rejoice. The Lord of light has come and reigns forever. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now we have the invocation prayer. Can we all read it together? O living Christ, Come to us in the glory of your risen power. Come to us in the humility of your wondrous love. Come and reign among us. Let new life course through our veins. New love find us together. And new vision spur us on to follow you forever. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. We have the offertory statement from Malachi 3:10. Bring all that tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will not be room enough to receive it. And the children's church is dismissed. Can we have ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
And now we have the reading by Nancy Torres.
Living Hope. How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declared, "The grave has no claim on me." Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah! Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah! Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
As the echo of his final cry faded into silence, every person who witnessed his death had to deal with 1,000 questions. His grief-stricken mother no doubt remembered the words of Simeon, who prophesied when Jesus was only 8 days old, that he would bring shame to some in Israel and great joy to others. Simeon's words, "And a sword will pierce your very soul," had come true for Mary that day. Wherever Peter was at that moment, his denials of the night before must have been an unrelenting drumbeat of accusation in his mind. And for one Roman soldier, the questions were coupled with a sudden life-changing realization. Jesus had been nothing more than a prisoner to be executed. But when the centurion saw how this man had died, he exclaimed, "Surely this was the Son of God."
want to thank Weston for helping out and leading worship this morning. We come now to our time of sharing prayer concerns before our morning prayer. In your bulletin, you'll see a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. One announcement I forgot to make. We had the praise dinner this past week on Thursday, and I was told that they reached the goal of $100,000 for the praise team dinner. So we want to thank the Lord for that accomplishment. I also want to thank Mark Landis this morning. He was our Sunrise Service speaker. And we found out about his running days in high school. So if you want to ask him about his running days in high school, I'm sure he'll tell you about that. But thank you very much, Mark, for providing that message. He tied that in with the Easter message, and it was really good this morning. One prayer concern I want to share, and this is in your announcements. We want to keep the family of Tim Dubel in prayer. Tim Dubel passed away here, and the funeral is tomorrow. We're having a memorial service tomorrow at 11 a.m. in Schaeferstown, the Causer Funeral Home. So keep the family of Tim Dubel in prayer. And this week, the church that we're praying for is my home church, Indian Creek Church of the Brethren. So we always want to pray for a church in the district, and this week it's Indian Creek, and the Pottstown Church is praying for us. Let's quiet our hearts and come to our God in prayer. Oh God, on this Easter morning, we're so mindful of the miracle that you have done, the wonderful miracle, Lord, of raising our Lord and Savior from the dead, Lord God. Only you, Lord, could have done that, Lord, and we give you all praise, honor, and glory. And, Lord, this morning, we give you this worship service. We pray, Lord, that this worship service today would be worthy of you. We thank you for all who came out this morning to have this time of worship. We lift up, Lord, the many people who cannot be here for illness or for traveling purposes. We lift up each name this morning on the prayer concern list. Many people here are struggling with ongoing illnesses. Friends that we know, Lord, are dealing with situations that are very difficult. We lift each one to you, Lord, in faith, knowing, Lord, that you have a plan and purpose for each one. Lord, this week we continue to pray for our nation and for the direction that we're going. We pray, Lord, that we would truly be one nation under God. And we pray for our president and the leaders of Congress, Lord, that they would follow your ways and commit to your ways as a country. We hear what you say in your word, blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would be that country. We pray for the church. We pray for this church, Lord. We thank you for this church and the ministry that we have here. We pray that you would empower us as your servants, empower us as your people. Help us, Lord, to have a spark to do ministry together in your name. We pray for the needs of this church, the financial needs of this church, Lord. We thank you for the dedication of so many people here, Lord. We pray that we will continue to commit to the church. Help us, Lord, to be aware of our witness, too. We pray that we would truly be lights for you. The Bible says that we are to let our light shine before you and before men, that they may see your good works, not our good works, Lord. It's all about you. We pray that we as a church would be that witness in our community, that we would share the love of Christ to others. We pray now that you would open our hearts and minds right now as we look into your word, the Easter message this morning. And Lord, that your word would speak truth to us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture text this morning is Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. And in your bulletins, you'll find an insert sheet that you can follow along if you wish. We're looking at the resurrection story according to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." May God add a blessing in the reading of his word. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord. Bless your spoken word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would ask me what my favorite part of the day is, I would tell you the morning. I don't know about you, but I'm a morning person. I like the morning. I don't know how many of you are morning people. Perhaps many of you are early morning people since it's Easter. Whenever I read the Bible about the resurrection story of Jesus, the account, I always think about the time of the day when it happened. It was early morning. Jesus rose from the dead early during the early morning hours. And I got to thinking about how morning people are as opposed to evening people. We, as morning people, are at our best in the morning. We are people who get up at crazy hours. We got up at 4 o'clock this morning. I guess that was a crazy hour. Some morning people are up even before we hear the birds outside. Or, in our case, I'm up sometimes before the cats start meowing in the house. And then there's Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday causes some people to get up early when they don't want to get out of bed early. But I really believe by the end of the day, you'll see that Easter is worth getting up early. Now, I believe there's a biblical reason to get up early on Easter. Because it was the women who came to Jesus' tomb, and it was early. Look at Luke 24, verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, it says, very early in the morning, They and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. The Gospel of John says in John 20, verse 1, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark. Some believe it was as early as 4 a.m. Some would ask, well, why did these women come to the tomb so early? Well, for one thing, it's common sense. If something's very important to you, you're going to get up early to get it done, right? I mean, you got to get up to go to work, and you got to get up to take long trips. You're going to get up early because it's important. But there's another reason. Many of these women who came to the tomb came for another reason. They came because they had a mission. The women who came to the tomb had a mission, and that was to anoint Jesus' body after he died. It was a Jewish custom to anoint a body after Jesus, after a death. And this morning in this message, I have five steps I want to go through, and they're very simple. I don't think I arranged the insert that way, but you can just put down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and just put down one or two words. The first step, one, is the word mission. Mission. The women who came to anoint Jesus' body came because they had a mission. They came to the tomb not so much out of a Jewish custom, like I mentioned, as it was out of a love and devotion to Jesus. In fact, it was the women who were with Jesus all the way to the cross. The women saw Jesus suffer and die, and they stuck with Jesus when everyone else walked away. Bless their hearts for that. And here they came to anoint his body very early in the morning out of love and devotion. And when they came to the tomb, I'm sure they were mourning. I'm sure they were down. They were sad, sorrowful. They've been through the sorrow of watching Jesus, their Lord, suffer and die. But look what happened next. This one is step two. Step two is of the story is discovery. Discovery. Look what happened when they came to the tomb. Luke 24, 2 to 4. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Discovery. Now, this is where many people think the women were all happy and joyful because, you know, they realize what happened. I don't think they knew what happened at this time. What were the women feeling? The Living Bible translation says, they stood there puzzled, trying to think what could have happened to it, what could have happened to the body of Jesus. They were thinking, what happened to the body of my Lord? What about this huge stone, this huge, humongous stone that no man could move? How could that just go away? Plus, what happened to Jesus' body? It's not here. What happened next? Step three of the story. Confusion and fear. Step three is confusion and fear. The Bible says the women were perplexed, meaning that they were at a loss of what to do. Now, you might be thinking, well, didn't they know the good news? This was Jesus, the risen from the grave. It was a good thing. God was speaking through this miracle of the resurrection. Why would anyone be perplexed and puzzled by this? Well, when God speaks, when God does a miracle, people are at a loss. Sometimes they're confused. They think, you know, how can this be? They want an explanation. Or they're thinking, is this from God or is this just a coincidence? In fact, many critics of Jesus would say that his resurrection was just a coincidence. Some would say that his body was just stolen away. I say no. It was a miracle that only God could do.
That's what makes Easter Sunday so special. Step four of the story is God shows up. Step four, God shows up. When the women were at a loss of what to do, when they were confused and scared, God showed up. God was with them in the tomb with the two shining angels who were there. God came to the women in the form of these two angels. It was not what they expected to find when they entered the tomb. In fact, if it would have been me, I would have been a little scared to go in that tomb. Tombs are not the most pleasant place to go to be honest. Tombs are dark and scary. Who would ever want to go into the dark tomb? But God miraculously showed up. What the women expected to see when they went into the tomb, they did not see. Instead, they saw God. That is our hope. That is our good news. Now, what does this mean for us today? Think about what this means for our lives. When we are like the women, when we are confused, when we're scared about situations we face, when we don't know where to turn, trust God and He's going to show up. Or trust God and He'll be there. He will turn. He will change anything that we think is bad in a good situation. That is the hope that we have at Easter. So what's the lesson for us? The lesson is this. Be faithful to Jesus like the women were. Be faithful to Jesus. Be devoted to Jesus. And God will show up. God will be with you. And if you can't figure out how God is working in your situation, in your life, don't sweat that. Don't sweat it. God is there. God is there with you. Trust Him. I mean, think back to your own life. Think how many times God has led you to a, quote, strange place, yet God was there with you. But you had to be convinced, without a doubt, that God was there. That is a struggle that we all face in our faith. And I admit, I, as someone who is of the clergy, I admit it's never easy to know what God's will is. Because we have a God who says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. You know, we can't think the way God thinks, and that's probably good. Yet we are to believe that God's ways are the right ways, and that God knows what's best. And our only response is to believe, and that's what the women did who came to the tomb. Look at Luke 24, verse 5. This leads into step 5 of the story. Step 5 of the story is humbleness before God. Luke 24, verse 5, it says, "Then as they," the women, "were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they," the angels, "said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead?'" So what did the women do before the angels? They bowed their faces to the earth. They humbled themselves. They humbled themselves before God. That was the right response. That was the right response the women made. They bowed themselves before the Lord. And then the angels told them, "Your Jesus is alive." What news that must have been for them. They're probably thinking, how did my Lord rise? Did we miss something? Look at Luke 24, 6 to 8. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." Now, the key word there in those three verses is the word "remember." Remember Jesus' words. Now, these women receive their confirmation. Their confirmation of Jesus' resurrection was Jesus' words. That's what they're looking for. It was through the words that Jesus spoke earlier. Look at look back to Luke 18, 31 to 34. This is before Jesus rose from the dead, and he was talking to his disciples, telling everyone what was going to happen. It says, "Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, 'Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.' But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." And so those words were spoken to the disciples and perhaps the women, and suddenly they remembered his words. They remembered. That made me think about our memory. How good is your memory these days? It's a good question for us to ask ourselves. How good is your memory? Do you remember Jesus' words? Do you remember Jesus' words through the Bible? Do you remember Jesus' words in Sunday school, from your Sunday school teacher, from your parents, from your grandparents? Or do some of you, as I might have selective memory? Ask my wife if I have selective memory. We sometimes choose to remember things that we want to remember, don't we? But we all need to remember and never forget the words of Jesus. We all need a solid foundation of Jesus' words. And this is why the church is so important to all of us. It's so important to belong to a church. If you're visiting this morning and you're looking for a church, I really encourage you to worship with us here. Because it's so important for everyone. We all need a church foundation. We all need to belong to a church. So important for our faith. So important for our foundation. And that leads to the sixth step of the story, which is believe and tell others. Believe and tell others. Look at Luke 24, 9 to 11. Luke 24, 9 to 11. "And then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them." In other words, when the women told the disciples that Jesus is alive, they believed it was nonsense. They believed it was nonsense. So how do you convince someone who does not believe? Well, you can't convince someone through an argument. Arguments don't win anything. You can't convince someone to believe through a debate. The truth is, sometimes people have to find out the truth about God on their own. Peter was one of them. Peter was one of them. Look what he did. Verse 12. "Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself what had happened." For some people, to see is to believe. Let me see for myself. Let me see for myself all these good things, and I'll believe. If I'm healed from cancer, then I'll believe in Jesus. Is that true faith? No, it's not true faith. That's not true faith in God. Thomas was another person who had to have visible proof that Jesus was alive. We're going to be looking at Thomas next week in next week's sermon. Jesus told him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So this leads me to ask this question for all of us to think about. What more convincing proof do we need today in order for us to believe in the risen Christ? What more convincing proof do we need in order for us to believe in the risen Christ? We have the word of our Lord right here as our proof. That should be all the proof that we need. We have the word of his resurrection. We have the word of his resurrection through witnesses. It is up to us to take that message to others. It is our responsibility as a church. Back when I was a pastor at the church where Rachel and I met at the Virginia Copper Hill Church of the Brethren near Roanoke, we had a young man in the church there in the church youth group, and he was very active in the youth group. He was a very intelligent young man. He would ask lots of good questions about God and Jesus. But soon after we left Virginia, we heard the news that this young man was looking into joining the Mormon Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He got information. He was exploring this cult. He was actually going to some of the services. However, last time we heard, as of now, he is back in the Church of the Brethren worshiping there, and we thank the Lord for that. We heard that he found out on his own that this was a false teaching, it was a cult. But what concerned me is why he turned to the Mormon faith to begin with. As I said, he is a very intelligent young man who asks lots of good questions about God and Jesus, and that's good. When people ask questions about God and Jesus, we as a church, we as parents, need to address that. And I wasn't so sure that his church and the parents really did that. Were they really grounded? Whereas was the church keeping him grounded in his faith in biblical doctrine? But that is a challenge that all of us face as a church. And I believe that if there are any two institutions that our youth need today, they are the parents and the church. They provide our foundation in Jesus Christ. Parents and the church are the ones who are responsible for getting the word of Christ out, for laying the foundation for our young people. For example, what is one thing that we should teach them? One of them is what we're learning today, and that is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one doctrine that is foundational, that we need to hold on to. The Apostle Paul tells us in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15, 13 to 14, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." So the resurrection of Christ from the dead is foundational to our faith. The bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, that's what distinguishes us in the Christian faith. The resurrection is what stands us out from all the other faiths and religions around the world. I mean, think about it. Do you know of any other religion? Do you know of any other faith where the founder of that religion dies, then is raised from the dead, and then he ascends into heaven and gave his church the Holy Spirit? Do you know of any other faith that does this other than the faith of Jesus Christ? So because there is no other religion like Christianity, we can all affirm what the Bible says, and I asked them to put a verse up on the screen that I'd like for us to read together from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And this is so foundational for us to read. Let's read this together. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We have someone who is alive within us today, the resurrected Christ, the one who provides us with a living hope. There is no other God. There is no other Lord. We need to commit our lives to him today. We need to invite our living Savior into our hearts and lives today and into the church. There is no other hope. There is no other way to have the hope that the world needs today. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the living hope that you provide through our resurrected Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would take this important message of the resurrection of Christ into our hearts, and that we would just know about that joy that the woman felt when they saw the living Christ. We pray, Lord, that we would take that in and share that through our words and our example. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as we sing our closing hymn, He Lives, if you have something that you need to pray for, or if you want to make a decision for the Lord today, I invite you to come forward. If you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward this morning. Let's all stand as we sing our closing hymn, He Lives, number 285.
us hear these words from the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 15, verses 55 through 58. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.